Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. When I was a seeker, I sought both night and day. I asked the Lord to help me, and He showed me the way. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain. He made me a watchman upon the city wall. And though I am a Christian, I am the least of all. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching, or silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. 'Twas in a humble manger that Jesus Christ was born. The God of all creation became a child that born. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
Good to have you this evening. I was trying to look for Brother Peugeot or Brother Mike or Brother Prado. Don't see any of them. I think the number this morning was 14 that got saved out back. But I'm not sure if that number's. I think that's what Kurt told me was back being talked to, but I don't know if that's what the final count was. Sometimes kids go back there to be saved, and then we find out they're already saved or don't know they're sinners, so they get sent back in. But that was what had been sent out. He came to me and said, "You guys got out early." I said, "The one thing I can always predict about Brother Nichols is he's not very predictable." So, I said, he doesn't do many rapid trails anymore. But I think what was it, probably 15 minutes, Charlie, this morning? I said, all I can tell you is hurry up back there. But he said the parents were coming to pick up kids and they were still dealing with people. So don't know the exact count, but a good Sunday morning. One would have been a lot. Three or four would have been great. But what? 15, so the number went up. 15, they got saved. So, and if you wonder why some of them came, I can tell you some of them are normal kids. You know why they came? Because they got a basket and they got a bag of goodies and they got some presents. Right. So if you're wondering if what you brought was a blessing, 15 people got saved. Again, it's so much easier to win them when they're that age than it is when they're you guys' age or our age. So thankful for the kiddos that got saved this morning. Father, thank you for your blessing. Thank you for the program this morning. Thank you most of all for the folks that got saved this morning. That's such a blessing. And Lord, we just pray that you bless us again this evening. We ask you to fill David with your power and speak through him to us. And Lord, bless the rest of the service in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
All right. Just a closer walk with thee. I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Through this world of toil and snares, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden shares? None but Thee, dear Lord, none but Thee. Just a closer walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to Thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. When my feeble life is o'er, time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely o'er, to Thy kingdom shore, to Thy shore. Just a closer walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to Thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
We got a microphone, hot shot. All right, let's start with a blessing. So we will start over here on this side. Anyone over here with a blessing? Anyone with a blessing? Oh, you got an announcement. I announced it this morning. I'll announce it. Oh, this week? Oh, okay. I didn't, but I will. All right. No one over there? All right. Someone in this section with a blessing. Someone with a blessing. All right. Mr. Matthew?
Christmas is this week.
That is a blessing. Mr. Levi? All right. Good thing. I wondered when he had his hand up with Mrs. Kules.
Just the Lord always provides my every need.
Good. Anyone else in this section before we move away? Brother Price in the back.
It's a blessing to have David here tonight.
Yes, it is. Anyone in this section over here now? Miss Stella?
I'm thankful that David and Tatiana are back, and I'm also very so much thankful for the love and support from all of you and my friends and family, because you're all here.
Yeah, Mr. Sean, she beat you to the Tatiana thing. You're going to come up with something else.
It was a blessing to go caroling on Friday.
All right. Anyone else in this section? Brother Yala?
It sure is a blessing to be here tonight to hear David preach. Just love him so much, and I pray for him.
Yep. Anyone else in this section? All right, let's go to the far side. We have the Howards down front. Start with the big one and work your way down.
I'm just thankful that the things that God blesses you with, you might not think they're blessings at the time that you receive it, but give it a little while, and God will turn that into fruition of the biggest blessing in the world.
Good. Mom?
I'm glad I don't have school for 2 weeks.
And Stephen had his hand up too.
It's a blessing to be able to spend time with my family.
Yeah, Mom beat you to the school thing, yeah. Anyone else in this section? All right, Nico? Oh, Miss...
It was such a blessing to hear the kids sing this morning. It was a real blessing.
Yes, it was. And Miss Nico.
I'm happy that both my aunts and uncles and all my cousins are coming for Christmas. Well, not all my cousins. I have a lot of them. But, you know.
Most of them. Got it. All right. Thank you, sir. These announcements, if you will see me, if you're a Whataburger fan, they've given me these to give out in school, and then I just forgot them, and I didn't realize that there was a date on them. So if you want Whataburger this week, because the expiration date is 12/24, so I have these, which simply means we put your name on it, and it can be faithful church attendance. We are awarding you for something, okay? So you get one of these for whatever it is. Or if you're a bus worker, we will give it to you in recognition of the fact that you're a faithful bus driver or whatever. And that gives this gives you a free Whataburger Jr. And then this is a coupon that simply if you buy numbers 1 through 5, you get a Whataburger free. Or if you get a you get a free Whataburger if you purchase a medium fry and a 32-ounce drink. Or you get a free honey butter chicken biscuit. Never had one of those. Don't know what that is. But apparently for breakfast, if you purchase another one. So you can get two honey butter chicken biscuits. That's quite a mouthful. Too many bees there. Two for the price of one. So if you would like that, see me after church. I have those to give out. Thank you on behalf of my wife and I for all the, especially for the Christmas bonus from the church. Thank you for that. Thank you also for the money, the goodies, and then the food that you have given for my wife and I. We thank you for that. Roy also said thank you for the monetary gift. Again, we got our Christmas bonuses this week from you all, so we thank you for that. Don't forget to continue to pray for Preacher and Cindy. Brother Nicholas mentioned Brother Wynn this morning. He has COVID, so please pray for Brother Wynn. Pray for Alice and for Al and Melissa. I added them both together there. For Al and Melissa Wallace as they recover from COVID. Don't forget to pray for Mrs. Plumstead, Brother Lowry. If you would pray for Mrs. Block, she's been back on her not sleeping during the night schedule because of her restless legs. She wakes up about 2 a.m. and is up for the rest of the morning. So if you pray for her, and pray, I've been having stomach issues all day, so if you pray for me, I was going to call him, but I thought, well, I didn't want Roy to have to run the platform, but I thought about having Brother Taylor run the platform and just stay home and feel sorry for myself, and I thought, I haven't heard David preach in a long time, so I figured I'll come and hear David preach. But again, if you'll pray for my, I have stomach issues from time to time, and today was one of those days. I thought maybe I would have to slip out like Douglas. When he slipped out the first time, I thought, oh no. When he slipped out the second time, I thought, I'm going to get in trouble for this. But Brother Nichols loves Douglas like I do, so Douglas gets a little bit of leeway the rest of us do not get. So don't forget we're on our regular schedule for this week, mostly. Now, what I mean by that is it mentions here that Brother Castillo wants us to have soul winning. So the next thing on the schedule will be soul winning on Tuesday night at 6:45, and then church at 7:30 on Wednesday night, and then Saturday bus visitation at 9:30, church at 10:50. And again, next week we're changing Wednesday and Thursday. We're flipping Wednesday and Thursday. We'll go soul winning on Wednesday, and then we will have church on Thursday, and that will be the night that, again, everybody brings something for you and your family to eat and a little extra, and we'll have a preaching service in here, and then we will have supper, and then anyone that wants to go home can go home. Those who like to stay can stay for the rest, till the evening, and there'll be Brother Joe and there'll be others that'll be taking care of the folks after that. How many of you remember when we used to watch all the films from Bob Jones University? I haven't seen one of those in a long time, but I was telling Sean, and I realized Sean probably never has seen any of those, but because it's been a few years, but used to be what we would do after supper. We would have the preaching service, have supper, and then watch about a two-hour film. Anything from, I think there's Flame in the Wind, Sheffy, and I don't remember all the others, but there's a bunch of Bob Jones films that we used to get, and watch them on reel-to-reel. And I don't think we even have the reel-to-reel anymore, but we used to watch those, and usually that runs up close to midnight, and then we would have the New Year's resolutions and go home. So a little bit changed in the schedule this week. Instead of Thursday, it'll be Tuesday night for soul winning. And then again, don't forget, next week we're flipping Wednesday and Thursday around. And again, please do not forget to pray for the folks that's been sick. Brother Lowry is recovering from surgery. Mrs. Plumstead's back home from the hospital. And if you know someone that I don't know about, please let me know. Because I do try to keep up with everybody, and sometimes I don't know what's going when someone's in the hospital or someone is sick. And again, thank you for all those of you that brought gifts for the bus kids. We appreciate that. I don't work in the bus ministry anymore, but have for years. And again, I appreciate the bus kids. And I also are so thankful that many of you, again, we had enough gifts. I had someone that called in this week and asked if we could help them. A lady had five kids in her family, and there was enough stuff. I went up after church and asked Stella if there was anything left, and there was enough stuff to take to that family, so I'll take that to them after church. So that was a blessing. Thank you for doing that. But again, don't forget, have a good time during Christmas. Christmas, and again, for some of you, when you get older like me, we always went home for Christmas. So I've told my kids, we were still trying to decide whether we wanted, and again, the two-day drive to wherever it was that Joe lives was not worth it. But because Rachel's out of town, they're going to be in Houston. They invited us to Houston. But those of you that know me know I hate to drive. So I'm trying to decide how badly I want to be around family, whether it's worth a three-hour drive to go meet Rachel's new family in the future when she gets married. Their family lives over in the Houston area. I'm one of those guys that likes to stay home, but I like to have company. So, again, it's always when I told my son, I would love to come see you guys, but I don't want to drive that far. Flying is a tough during this time of year as well. But again, if you have family coming for Christmas, make sure you enjoy them. Christmas should be a big time. And if you don't have, I've said this before, if you don't have some family traditions, you ought to make some. Again, I told you something we always did is we went to my mom's side in the morning, whether it's Thanksgiving or Christmas. We went to my dad's side in the afternoon. And we always enjoyed those times because we got to hear stories about when our moms and dads were kids and the stuff they got into. And then it made us realize why we were so ornery, because our moms and dads were so ornery. Because brothers and sisters would get telling each other stuff on each other. And all of us kids would just sit around and listen and go, "Oh, really? You did that?" And, well, I don't remember that. I think they changed the story. But also, if you've never played a good game of Monopoly, that is a good time to sit around and play a good game of Monopoly. But if someone's not playing, smack them and throw them out of the game. The only thing I hate about games like that is if someone's not paying attention and they drag the game on forever, because Monopoly is a long game anyway. But again, enjoy your time with your family. But don't forget, the reason we have Christmas is because of Christ's birth. So make sure, the very least you should do is read the Christmas story and spend a little time making sure the kids and the grandkids understand it's not all about the presents. But again, we want you to have a Merry Christmas this week.
All right, let's all stand. We're going to sing "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name." All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, he ransomed from the fall. Hail him who saved you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. Hail him who saved you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe on this celestial mall, see us strive and crown him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred throng we at his feet may fall, we'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all.
And let's just hum quietly while the ushers come down. One of you guys come to pray for us. That one, there we go. They got distracted.
Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your blessings. Bless this service tonight, Lord. Bless the preaching. Bless the hearing, Lord. And I pray you bless this offering. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
ever seen Born to Die? On the night Christ was born, just before break of morn, fell a shadow cold and gray of a cross that would humble a king. Born to die upon Calvary, Jesus suffered my sin to forgive. Born to die upon Calvary, He was wounded that I might live. Jesus knew when He came, He would suffer in shame. He could feel every pain and sorrow. But He left paradise. With His blood He paid the price. My redemption to Jesus I owe. Born to die upon Calvary, Jesus suffered my sin and forgive. Born to die upon Calvary, He was wounded that I might live. From His throne Jesus came, laid aside heaven's fame, in exchange for the cross of Calvary. For my gain suffered loss, for my sin He bore the cross. He was wounded and I was set free. Born to die upon Calvary, Jesus suffered my sin to forgive. Born to die upon Calvary, He was wounded that I might live. Dearest Lord, evermore, may that cross I adore as I follow the path of Calvary. Of Thy death I partake, my ambition I forsake, all my will I surrender to Thee. Born to die upon Calvary, Jesus suffered my sin to forgive. Born to die upon Calvary, He was wounded that I might live.
heart.
Who's our special Wednesday night? Kitty, can you sing the one about Mary, Did You Know? Thank you. That's one of my favorite Christmas songs. No one sang it yet this Christmas, have they? What? Well, maybe in Sunday school, but not where I could hear it. Next time, sing louder, Hannah. Also, you shouldn't have told on her, because Hannah, what was the policy we were supposed to have when we sing down in Sunday school? What was we supposed to also do? Sing in there. So I could have heard it this morning, because the rule was, she showed up one day and I said, well, you guys late? They said, we sang in Sunday school. And I said, you don't sing for us? She said, you never ask us. I said, okay, from now on, when you guys sing down in Sunday school, come sing for us. So she has her standing. So if you can sing that, because Hannah didn't apparently come sing for us in teen church today. So appreciate it. Appreciate all your faithfulness during the holiday seasons. As I said, the world goes to church two times a year, usually Easter and Christmas. But again, if there's any time that we should be faithful, this is the time of year we should be faithful. Always a privilege for us to have young folks and we have a lot of young folks through the years at Liberty Baptist Church, either on the mission field, many working here. And again, if God hasn't called you to preach, by the way, that means you shouldn't preach. If God hasn't called you into special ministry, He still has a ministry for you, but it'll be involved in the local New Testament Baptist Church called Liberty Baptist. And so a good place for you to work. And there's plenty of stuff for you to do around here. So I'm not just, someone told me, one of the boys years ago said, if we're not a preacher or missionary, Liberty Baptist Church isn't proud of us. And I said, that is not true. The fact is we have young people in here that have been faithful for the last 20 years, either teaching the class, working the bus route, singing in the choir, doing the nursery or something else. And by the way, if God didn't call you into the ministry, that's where you're supposed to be here doing those things. And so, again, we're just as proud of you. But it is a blessing, Liberty Baptist Church to us, that's young people. Now, every church loses folks, and that always hurts us to see them grow up in the church and then they disappear. But it's always a blessing to have those who stay. So for all of you in the pew today that's still sitting there faithfully, I can tell you, Brother Taylor, Brother Peugeot, and I, and anyone else that's worked with the youth, appreciate that. And I can tell you there's someone else that appreciates it more than us, and that's Brother Nichols. He appreciates so much when young people grow up and stay in church and raise their families up in church. But David's one of our own, so good to hear him. I know he's back in town. I got to hear him in Sunday school this morning. When I found out he was in town, I asked him to teach in Sunday school. He brought a good lesson there, and he's going to preach to you tonight. So I think he's still using the KJV, right? All right. Well, you should check ahead of time, but grab your King James Bible and pay attention.
If you have anything else, you're going to be confused. I'm preaching from the King James. You're going to find the text in Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8. I'm going to begin reading in verse 8. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8. It's page 8 in the Scofield Reference Bible if you have one of those. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. And if you would also turn over to Isaiah chapter 1 and hold your finger there while I read Genesis chapter 3. Isaiah chapter 1. And I'll be there in just a second, Isaiah chapter 1. But Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8, it says this, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou?" Now I want you to turn over to Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. I'm going to use a lot of Bible tonight. I hope that's okay. And be Isaiah chapter 1. And I'm going to start reading here in verse number 4. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 4. The Bible says this. I want you to listen to this. "Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward." And then I want you to go to verse 7. It says this. "Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour in your presence, and it is desolate, as overthrown by strangers." I don't watch the news very much. We're not allowed to have TVs in the dorms, which is a good thing in a way, but I know some of you do watch the news, and some of you see the things that are going on in our country today. And as I read this passage, actually I read all the way through Isaiah, and time after time after time again, Isaiah talks about destruction and desolation. But he also talks about restoration. Yeah. But you can't help but notice what is happening in America today. You can't help but watch it. You can't help but look around, not only on the TVs, but also the way people act in the streets, the way people talk, even in normal conversation in everyday life, and their ideologies and their thinking and the Bible talks about it. He says that they heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears. And when I read that verse, I also saw a problem. There was a lack of preaching in that verse as well. There was no preaching. They said they heaped unto themselves teachers. Instead of listening to preaching, they wanted to get just taught. Just teach me a nice go-home lesson, and I'll go home, and I'll try to live the best life that I possibly can. Isaiah says this. He says, your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. But I think Isaiah is not only referring to the physical destruction of the children of Israel. He's also talking about the spirituality and how that was gone. We see a lot of times in the Bible, you hear about Hezekiah, Nehemiah, and building of the wall. All of this destruction, but it all gets built back. It all gets restored eventually. And by the way, even if the destruction, even now, doesn't get restored here in this life, we're going to go home someday. We're going to be able to eventually get to heaven. If you're saved, if you're not saved, you should get saved tonight, because that's something you have to look forward to if you're saved. And if you're not saved, you have eternal destruction to look forward to. And that's not what God wants. That's not what I want. You see a nation far drifting away from God, from morality, from righteousness. The murder of babies is accepted. But not only accepted, it is now promoted, advertised. This didn't used to happen. Even in my generation, there was actually a little bit of morality when I was growing up. I saw some. But I'm starting to see that so slowly, surely but surely, decrease and diminish away. I don't know. And even nowadays, in or out of the womb, you can kill a baby. Doesn't matter even if they're born already. Do you see the desolation? Do you see it? Why don't you go to Ezekiel? Ezekiel chapter 8. You're going to hear a question in this passage right here. It's a very convicting question. Ezekiel chapter 8. And I'm going to begin reading here in verse 12. Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 12. Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 12. The Bible says this. Then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark, every man in the chambers of his imagery? For they say, the Lord seeth us not. The Lord hath forsaken the earth. He said also unto me, turn thee yet again. He's talking to Isaiah here. He's trying to explain to him. He's trying to ask him some questions. And saith unto me, turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations that they do. Then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north. And behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. Then said he unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than these. And he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house. Listen to this verse, verse 16. And he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house. And behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs toward the temple of the Lord. That means they were turned back towards the temple of the Lord and their faces toward the east. And they worshiped the sun toward the east. Verse 17. Then he said unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing to the house of Judah that they commit the abominations that which they commit here? For they have filled the land with violence and have returned to provoke me to anger. And lo, they put the branch to their nose. By the way, our relationship with God right now, when it comes to America and it comes to our blessed nation that we live in, that we can still call the home of the brave, the land of the free. The relationship with God for us goes about as far as this. God says, how are you? And we say, fine, while we're sticking our nose in our phones and in our computers and in our technology. And we don't trust in God anymore. We don't even have a conversation anymore. Back to Genesis chapter 3. God went into the garden. He said, Adam, where art thou? By the way, I believe God's doing that right here, right now, in this very second. He's asking, where are you? Where art thou? Romans 13, verse 11 through 14. I'm going to turn there. You don't have to turn there. Romans 13, verse 11. Romans chapter 13, verse 11. The Bible says this, 13, verse 11. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh, to fulfill the lust thereof. Verse 13, it says, not in strife and envying. Why nowadays do Christians have to constantly fight with one another? Why do we have to constantly bicker and fight with each other all the stinking time about little things that don't matter? And we get and we pull the Bible out. We say, well, God said this and God said this. And we're both using the same Bible and using it against each other. I've seen it happen. I live in the dorms at the college. It's a dorm full of men. And if you're a guy, you know what it's like to have that alpha male personality where you want to be in control and you want to win the arguments. And I have that problem as well. I always want to be the top of the argument. I want to win the arguments. But it gets to the point where we start arguing over scriptures in the Bible when God didn't intend for us to argue about them. God didn't put the stuff in there so that we can argue and bicker and fight over the things that he said and whether this person thinks that we should do this or this person thinks that we should do this. By the way, if you just get in your mind and get in your set in your head the motive of an individual, if you just worry about what your motive is and reaching people with the gospel and trying to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, you won't have time to bicker and fight with each other. You won't have time to bicker and fight amongst the brethren. The Bible says a brother is born for adversity. You're born and you're going to bicker and you're going to fight. But the spiritual life is not supposed to be that way. The physical birth, yes, it may be that way sometimes. But the spiritual life, we're supposed to work together, not be divisive and divide each other all the time. I don't want to sit and watch my nation crumble. Wake up. Look around you. It's high time, the Bible says, it's high time to wake out of sleep. A lot of us are dead. A lot of us are dead spiritually. Yes, we're saved. Yes, we have the fire escape. We get to escape hell. We don't have to go to hell. We get to go to heaven. But we're sleeping. We're dead. The Bible says, James says, faith without works is dead. No one can see that you are a Christian unless you show them. And also, you might be the only Bible someone would read out in the world. Or the only Jesus someone would see out in the world. How are you doing with that? How's it going? How are you representing the Lord Jesus Christ? How are you showing other people Jesus' light through you? Or are you not even doing that? Do we go about our day and we ignore the people that pass around us? That, I love that song that says, people need the Lord. That verse, every day they pass me by, I can see it in their eyes, a people filled with care, wondering who goes where. And they go different ways, and there's people all over the world. You need to get a heart for souls, a passion for souls, a passion for soul winning. And I think we've gotten to the point where we've become a little wacky in our soul winning as well, where it's not just we make it a time for soul winning instead of being a soul winner. And there's a big difference between the two. You can set a time, and you can schedule time, and that's good. You need to schedule a time, because if you don't schedule a time, it may not get done. It probably won't get done. If you don't schedule, it's not going to get done. But instead of just scheduling a time, you need to constantly have on a mindset of, I'm a soul winner. By the way, Jesus was a soul winner. Jesus said, I must needs go to Samaria. There was a reason. He left everything. He dropped everything that he had at that moment to go and witness to that Samaritan woman and to get her to him and to take up the water of life. By the way, I'm not going to sit around and watch my nation crumble and fall to the ground. I'm going to do something about it. I want to do something about it. I don't want to just soul win. I want to be a soul winner. I want you to turn to Psalm 91. And I was just reading this right now. It came to my mind, and I wanted to show you Psalm 91. I think it's a perfect example of what's going on in our day right now, right here and now. I read to you Ezekiel, and I read to you Isaiah chapter 1. But Psalm chapter 91, it was very, very interesting to me when I read it. Psalm chapter 91. I'm going to read a couple of verses here. The Bible says this. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. I don't know if you know what pestilence is, but pestilence means disease. It's disease. The Bible says in Psalm 91, says, thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. As I read Psalm 91, all I could think of was the year 2020. And I felt that God was speaking to me just a little bit about what's been going on in our country today. And it's a spiritual battle, folks. It's a spiritual war, a spiritual battle. And it's something that we have to engage in that fight. That's why I talked about it. It said it's high time to awake out of your sleep. Romans 13 was talking about that. But Psalm 91, and it goes on and on. It says, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy right side, and 10,000 at thy right hand. Yes, people are dying. People are falling all around us. But those who are saved, born again, on their way to heaven, spiritually have a firm rock to stand on. And that's the word of God. And the Bible says that. They're going to fall this way and that way. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. I just talked about that. We're going to see it with our eyes. We're going to see the destruction around us. But I feel like a lot of times us as Christians, we see what's going on around us and we let it affect us emotionally. And we break down and we say there's no use anymore. When we forget that we're on the winning side. The Bible says once you come out of sin and you get saved from sin, and that, remember that song, I'm on the winning side. Yes, I'm on the winning side. No more in sin will I abide. I've enlisted in the fight for the cause of truth and right. You've enlisted in a war. You enlisted in a fight when you got saved. Whether you like it or not, you enlisted in a fight. And you can be the one who sits by in the back and is not participating in the fight, or you can engage yourself in the fight and be willing to fight for your family, your friends, your neighbors, the people who are lost and dying and going to hell. You can sit around, or you can engage in the fight. It's up to you. The first thing I want to show you guys is this. And the title of my message is this. Will the fire fall again? Will the fire fall again? The Bible, all through the Bible, there's always been a remnant. There's always been a group of people who stood true to the word of God. I read this book. It was called The Trail of Blood. And a really good book. It was about martyrs who had died and given their lives, starting all the way back in Bible days, but given their lives for not only the sake of Jesus Christ and the gospel, but for the sake of this book. This word that they had, the scriptures, the preserved word of God. And I read throughout that book and I saw constantly, time after time after time after time again, people dying for the cause of Christ. And a lot of us won't even speak up at the grocery store about Jesus. A lot of us won't speak up even in our neighborhoods about Jesus Christ. When, to be honest with you, we aren't really that persecuted here in America. Not yet. But we aren't persecuted that here in America right now. We have the freedom and the liberty to share Jesus Christ. But a lot of us are too scared. Well, they've got too many tattoos. I'm not going to go walk up to them and talk to them about Jesus Christ. And you get scared back. They're not going to get saved. They're never going to get saved. Look at them. Look at how they act. Look, they're big bad. Look, they're a gang member. No, I'm not talking to them. No, the Bible says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. When Jesus says something, he means what he says. Go into all the world. And by the way, also this crowd that likes to sit around and say, well, I don't feel called to go talk to this person, or I don't feel called to go to this place or go to this place. God said, go into all the world. So if you can find yourself somewhere in the world, I'm sure God's not going to be too disappointed. If you feel called to Phoenix and you end up leaving New York City to Christ, I don't think it's going to hurt God's feelings too bad. We need to stop making excuses for why we shouldn't go and do the will of God or shouldn't go and show other people about Jesus Christ. First thing I want to share with you is this. If you've fallen down, get back up. If you've fallen down, get back up. It's time to arise. It's time to wake up. It's time to get out of your sleep. Go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 7. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 7. The Bible says this. Ye did run well. Very convicting little phrase right there. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Galatians 5:7 said, ye did run well. You were doing great. You were going on the right track. Oh, but COVID hit. And someone hindered you from continuing to run in the race. Someone hindered you. Someone stopped you. Someone said, oh, no, don't go soul winning because you're gonna spread this virus. Don't tell anybody about Jesus Christ because you're gonna spread, you're gonna get them sick, and everybody's gonna die. Well, if they die and they go to hell, I'm trying to see the similarities here. if they die and go to hell, but yet you didn't tell them about Jesus Christ because you were afraid that they were going to die, that kind of doesn't make sense. It doesn't parallel. It doesn't equal up. You have to, believe me, be safe. Do what you need to do to be safe. But don't stop sharing the gospel with people. There are ways. You can say, I can't share the gospel with somebody. I can't get out of my house. I'm not getting out of my house right now. Call somebody. If you have a phone book, just like back, they used to use phones back then. I don't know if they still have phone books right now. But you can get a phone book and call people. Or just type in a random number in the phone and call them and share with them about Jesus Christ. You have to spread the gospel. Share the gospel with somebody. There are ways to do it. All of you teenagers, you have social media. It's a good way to spread the gospel. A good way to share the gospel. Instead of putting what you had for breakfast this morning, why don't you share with them, put the gospel out in the world and let other people see the gospel. You were doing good. Your walk with God was there. It was great. But it's non-existent in your life now. There's no more walk. Why? You got distracted. Someone distracted you. Something distracted you. You got off the bandwagon. You fell off somewhere. By the way, God is walking in the cool of the day right now. And He's asking, where are you? Where art thou? Where are my people? Where have they gone? They've fallen off. Your cities are burned with fire. Strangers are devouring the land. We're letting people eat up and take away our liberties. I don't know if you know what's going on in California right now, but a few months ago, something like that, Jack Cheever in North Valley Baptist Church was fined several times for having a meeting. Fined $50,000, I think, was the first fine that he got fined. And then every time he met, he would get fine after fine after fine after fine. There is an attack on Christianity. And by the way, Walmart was still open. But there was an attack on Christianity. There is an attack, a current attack on Christianity, on the people today, Christian people today. But we're letting them attack us. We're backing up. We're allowing them to beat us down and defeat us down and push us and stomp us into the ground. Well, that's not what God meant for us. Yes, show compassion to people. Yes, show love to people. But God also said it's a fight. He said, quit you like men. Be strong and in the power of His might. God is not a weak God. God is not a soft God. God is not a sissy. Jesus is not a sissy. Some people even say, they try to tell us, they say, Jesus was soft. He was sissy. He had long hair. Sissy wasn't a real man. No, Jesus was not that way. Jesus went into the temple, flipped the tables. He casted out the people that were messing up the church. He casted out the people that were sinning in the temple, selling those things, trying to make money with the house of God. He casted them out. Jesus was not a soft man, and God is not either. Preacher talked about it this morning. The Almighty God. The power of God. And it's beyond our imagination. But He's powerful. He's strong. He's not soft. He's not weak. He's not. But He is walking in the cool of the day. And He is showing us grace. He has poured His grace upon us. You individually as well. He's poured your grace upon you. His grace upon you. He's poured His grace upon me as an individual. Yet I still fail Him all the time. But He still pours His grace. And He's walking in the cool of the day asking the same old question He asked Adam. Where are you? Where art thou? Where's the remnant? Where's the group of people who want to stand up and go charge the gates of hell with the gospel? Charge the gates of hell with the Bible and share people just the love of Jesus Christ. It can take me 10 minutes to share the gospel with somebody and get them from one destination all the way to the opposite into heaven. Get them from going to hell and now they're going to heaven. If you fall and get back up, where art thou? Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6 says this. Isaiah 64, 6 says this. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as the leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. Are you allowing your iniquities to cause the Lord Jesus Christ to hide His face from us? Are you causing Him to, because of our iniquities, to not hear you? To not hear your request? To not hear your cry? God is still there. By the way, God will always be there. By the way, if you go to the highest star, God's there. You go to the depths of hell, God's there. He has this attribute called omnipresent. Be everywhere at once. And He's there in your life whenever you're going through trials and you're going through tribulations too. But guess what? God is always there. God didn't leave. You did. God didn't take off. You left. And so guess what God did? He followed you. And he stayed with you. It's time to come back. Isaiah 1:18 says this, "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord of hosts. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." He says, "Come now, let us reason together." God's not saying, "Come now, so I can destroy you, and I can make your life miserable, and I can make your life unlike anybody else's." No, he says, "Let us reason together. I want you to talk to me. I want to understand where you're coming from. I want to understand what the problems you've been dealing with. I want to understand how far you've gone into the world as a prodigal, and you're coming back, but I want to reason with you. I'm not going to attack you. I'm not going to rip your face off with my words. I want to talk to you. Just want to talk." That's what God's saying to you, especially if you've gone off and you've fallen. Second thing, don't give up what you have. Don't give up what you have. People are going to try to take things away from you. People are going to try to take stuff away. They're going to take this away eventually too. That's why it's so important that you have God's word inside of your heart. By the way, God promised to preserve his word. He didn't say specifically how he's going to preserve his word, but he said he's going to preserve his word. And if it's your responsibility, if it's my responsibility, just like it was the people that God used back then, it's your responsibility and my responsibility, we have to do something about it. We have to keep this Bible alive and going for the generations after me and after my kids and after their kids and on and on and on. We have to keep this Bible going, and that's our part. By the way, I heard pray like it all depends on God. Work like it all depends on you.
Yeah.
It's not the Christian life is not about just sitting back and saying, "God, I hope you do everything for me. I'm just going to sit back and be lazy and sleep all the time." No, we do have a command to work. By the way, you have a good heritage.
Yeah.
I have a good heritage. I've been taught things that I need to do. I've been taught the right things. I know what is right to do. Don't leave that. Don't leave what you know is right. You were taught a certain thing. You were taught to do this, 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 that, and the other. You were taught those things. Don't leave them. You were taught that the King James Bible is the Word of God. Don't leave that. If someone comes to you and says, "Well, that's old, outdated, you can't use that anymore, nobody can understand that," stick with the Bible. The Bible is written on a fifth grade level. The English version of the King James Bible is written on a fifth grade level. People can understand it. When I share the Bible with people, they understand. They nod their head. They say, "Yes, I believe Jesus died for me. He rose again, and he's coming back eventually in the second coming." They understand what that means. Christians, by the way, Christians today are weak because of a lack of prayer. A lot of times we are not praying like we should either.
Yeah.
Bible says pray without ceasing.
Right.
Are you really doing that? Are you praying without ceasing? Do you have a constant mindset of prayer? Now, I don't mean always be on your knees 24/7 praying. But you should always have inside your head things going through your mind. Hey, pray for this person. Pray for this person. They're struggling here. They have a coworker that's not saved. This, that, and the other. A constant mind of prayer. A constant spirit of prayer. That's what pray without ceasing means. That's what 2 Thessalonians is talking about there. And then thirdly, this. Don't give up on others. Don't give up on others. I'm going to read one more verse. Psalm chapter 55 in verse 9. Psalm chapter 55 in verse 9. Psalm 55 verse 9 says this, "Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen the violence and strife in the city." And then it says this in verse 10, "Day and night they go about it upon the walls thereof. Mischief also and sorrow are in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me, then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide, and mine acquaintance." Don't give up on those around you who have decided to turn against you or have decided to fall off the track. Don't give up on them. Continue to pray for them. Pray for them every single time you get a chance, every single time it crosses your mind. Don't give up on them. Everyone has someone you know who has fallen. And maybe they haven't fallen all the way down, but they've fallen a little bit. They've stumbled a little bit in their Christian life. They stumbled in their soul winning. They stumbled in their walk with God, their Bible reading, their praying. Everyone has that person who has fallen, given up. Maybe they're even not saved. But now is the time. Now is not the time to abandon them.
Yeah.
Now is not the time to leave them. Because there are some things attacking your family and your life does not mean you get to abandon others. By the way, the whole Christian life is about winning people to the lost and serving others.
Yeah.
Serving others.
Yeah.
It's about serving. The Bible says, Jesus said, the greatest among these would be the servant. He also talks about children, but he also said the greatest among these is a servant. That's why Jesus presented himself as a servant when he washed the disciples' feet in the upper room.
Yeah.
Presented himself as a servant because he wanted to be an example to us of what we should do as being a servant. It's not time to abandon them. Jesus didn't give up on you. He sought you out until he found you. Until he found you and saved your soul. And even when you got off track, you may have fallen off. He still kept coming at you. Coming at you to find you. He's not going to sit all the way over here and watch you go out into the world. No, constantly wooing you, trying to get you back to come into his family. Come back into the fold. The sheep that's gone astray, remember the good shepherd went out and found the sheep. He went out and found the sheep and carried them back. Don't leave the people that you love. Keep praying for them. God knows how to soften hearts. God does that. He's pretty good at it. He's the expert at it. He knows how to soften the hearts. Give them to God. Leonard Ravenhill, he was talking about revival. And he said that the problem is not that America needs God. The problem is that the church needs God. And if the church gets God, America will soon feel it. When the church gets a hold of the power of God and the Holy Spirit, then it's going to spread out. Excuse me. Leonard Ravenhill, he said, if the church gets God, America will soon feel that power, and it will soon be able to affect and blemish across all of this nation. But the church has lost its power. The church has. The church has lost the fire. The fire hasn't fallen very often. We're allowing the government to control what we do. And a lot of times we're allowing the government to say, you can only do this, you can only have this many people, do this and such. And they've been figuring out ways to do this for years. It's not just because of COVID. They found out ways to shut things down before in the past. But Tony Hudson said this, you're contending or you're compromising. You're either going to continue to fight or you're giving in to them.
Right.
You're going to keep fighting or you're allowing them to infiltrate and come into America and allow them to destroy our country. Don't let it happen. Don't let them destroy our country. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. Thank you for all my blessings. I thank you for your word. I thank you for giving us a remnant, a group of people. People who would say that I'm going to stand up and I'm going to fight. I'm going to not allow myself to get overtaken by the enemy, by the spiritual wickedness in high places. I'm going to continue to fight and fight and fight. And I'm glad there's people like that here at Liberty Baptist Church as well, who are willing to go and fight and charge the gates of hell with the gospel and continue to go soul winning. Help us not to lose that. Let the fire fall again. Let the burning embers, Lord, burn inside of our hearts, not only for the lost, but also to read your word, to come to church, to enjoy church, to have an intimate relationship with you.